Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Martin Gurry's The Revolt of the Public and the Crisis of Authority in the New Millennium is a political and social analysis of how digital information has destabilized modern institutions. Originally published in 2014 and later updated, the book argues that the information revolution has shifted power away from governments, media organizations, political parties, and other hierarchical elites toward a more skeptical and networked public. Gurry is not offering a narrow account of one country or one election. Instead, he develops a broad diagnosis of a global legitimacy crisis that has appeared across democracies and other systems alike. The book is especially concerned with the gap between what institutions promise and what they can realistically deliver in an age of instant communication, transparency, and constant public scrutiny. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the information revolution reversed the old balance between elites and the public. Gurry's central argument is that digital communication has changed the structure of political power by weakening the monopoly once held by elites over information. In the industrial era, governments, major media outlets, and established parties could frame events, set agendas, and present themselves as the main interpreters of reality. The internet and social media broke that arrangement by giving ordinary people access to competing sources, alternative narratives, and rapid peer-to-peer coordination. This does not mean the public suddenly gained coherent governing power. Rather, it gained the ability to contest, mock, and reject elite authority at scale. The result is a new asymmetry. Institutions still have formal power, but they have lost much of the credibility needed to exercise it effectively. Gurry presents this as a structural change rather than a temporary political mood, which is why he treats contemporary unrest as part of a longer information-driven transformation. Secondly, why modern institutions promise more certainty and competence than they can actually provide. A major theme in the book is the growing mismatch between institutional promises and institutional capacity. Gurry argues that public expectations have risen in tandem with the expansion of communication technologies, because people can now see failures, compare responses instantly, and demand accountability in real time. At the same time, complex societies make it harder for institutions to deliver simple, confident solutions. Governments, public agencies, and media systems are therefore trapped. They are expected to be omniscient, responsive, and effective. Yet, they operate under conditions of uncertainty and limited control. When they fall short, their credibility erodes further. Gurry's point is not merely that institutions sometimes make mistakes. It is that the digital environment exposes every mistake, magnifies every contradiction, and makes correction look like deception or incompetence. This dynamic helps explain why trust declines even in societies with relatively strong formal institutions. Thirdly, the public revolt as a politics of negation rather than a stable governing alternative. Gurry is careful to distinguish the public from a constructive political order. The public, as he uses the term, is not simply the population or the electorate. It is a networked, reactive force that can mobilize quickly around outrage, scandal, or disillusionment, but often struggles to build durable institutions of its own. This gives the revolt a negative character. It excels at saying no, exposing hypocrisy, and disrupting authority. But it does not reliably translate protest into coherent governance. Gurry repeatedly suggests that this is why many uprisings produce instability rather than settlement. They can topple reputations and weaken elites, yet they often leave no trusted framework behind. This is one of the book's most important distinctions, because it prevents a simplistic celebratory reading of digital populism. The public may be empowered, but empowerment alone does not solve the problem of order, legitimacy, or collective decision-making. Fourthly, Trump Brexit, and mass protest as symptoms of a deeper legitimacy crisis. The updated edition uses recent political events to show how Gurry's framework applies in practice. He treats Trump's rise, Brexit, and other forms of mass protest not as isolated anomalies, but as visible expressions of the broader revolt against authority. In these cases, discontent was amplified through digital networks that allowed mistrust to spread faster than traditional institutions could respond. The common pattern is not ideological uniformity, but a shared rejection of elite mediation. Supporters and protesters may disagree sharply on policy, yet they often converge in their suspicion that established institutions are detached, self-protective, or dishonest. Gurry's analysis is useful here because it cuts across left-right categories and focuses on the deeper informational environment that shapes political behavior. He shows how modern populism is often less a coherent program than a reaction to failed trust, failed representation, and the sense that official narratives no longer deserve deference. Lastly, the book's warning about nihilism and the search for new democratic forms, Gurry does not present the crisis of authority as a simple transition to a better system. He warns that when old institutions lose legitimacy before new ones are built, societies can drift toward cynicism, fragmentation, and nihilism. People become skilled at tearing things down, but less capable of agreeing on replacements. That makes the future uncertain. Democratic institutions may adapt, or new organizing principles may emerge, but the book does not assume this will happen automatically. This final dimension gives the book its cautionary force. It is not only a diagnosis of present disorder, but also a challenge to rethink how authority can function in an age of permanent transparency and public skepticism. Gurry leaves readers with the sense that liberal democracy still has value, but only if it can learn how to operate in a communication environment that rewards exposure, speed, and disruption over patience and deference. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious explanation of why trust in political and media institutions has eroded so sharply in the digital age. Policymakers, journalists, students of politics, and readers trying to understand populism, protest movements, and institutional distrust will all find it useful. Its main value is not partisan commentary, but a structural interpretation of modern instability. Gurry connects information technology, public expectations, and elite vulnerability in a way that helps explain events across different countries and political connectings. Compared with many books on polarization or populism, it stands out because it is less focused on one ideology or one election cycle, and more concerned with the deeper mechanics of authority itself. That gives it unusual explanatory range. The book is also distinctive for its skeptical tone. It recognizes the power of digital networks to expose failure, but it also emphasizes how difficult it is to turn disruption into stable governance. Readers looking for quick fixes may find it unsatisfying, but readers looking for a durable framework for understanding the crisis of legitimacy will find it unusually insightful and still highly relevant. If you would like to support Martin Gurry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.